It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every once in a while, you need a little wake-up call, a little reminder that things matter to you, a little something-something to put in your coffee in the morning so you know that you are alive and well and you take this stuff seriously, very seriously, that you don't just get up in the morning and try to get through the day and get a paycheck, but you really put something into this world and in this life that you live. And you care a lot deeply about things that you do during the day. Every once in a while, you need a little oomph, a little kick in the fan, a little something, something that tells the world that, yes, indeed, you're going to come out every day and compete. And every once in a while, you got to throw a punch. You got to hit somebody right in the nose and see if you get blood out of the ears, because the every once in a while, you got to wake them up and let them know you won't take it anymore. Yesterday was a great day in some respects for Twins baseball. This whole weekend was. Toronto comes to town, and it's the craziest series because, first of all these Blue Jay fans show up. And I didn't anticipate. I didn't know. Maybe they're feeling, you know, repressed from COVID, et cetera, et cetera. And they're everywhere in the streets. And they go to the game. And then you got this concert with Swindell. And that brings in a whole bunch of people. I didn't even know that much about him. I thought, Greg Swindell's, I thought he's a pitcher now. He's singing. And so you get that to start it. And Toronto wins. And then Twins win a couple. And then Toronto wins with this controversial ending yesterday. And Rocco Baldelli takes center stage afterwards and explains who he is and what he believes and what he's about. Every once in a while, you need somebody to do that. Jerry Burns is sitting up in heaven with a big smile on his face. See, I'm not the only one that gets upset after a game, but it was good. It was good theatrics. And it's worth reviewing because if I could find an excuse to allow for Rocco Baldelli, did you bleep out the stuff that needs to be bleeped out?
This was coming straight from the Twins.
Okay, so this came straight from the Twins.
Straight from the Twins.
Edited, unedited. It was at their discretion.
Unedited. This is what the Twins put up. So we'll. I've got the delay on just in case.
This is from the Twins website.
This is okay. This is from the Twins Learfield portal. So
now see, you got everybody's attention because you're going, ooh, what might he have said? It's like what Sid Hartman used to say. You know, maybe I shouldn't say this. And as soon as he said that, you just tune in.
Oh, it's like
because his filter was so, yeah, his filter was so out there that if he had decided to even think about what he was about to say, you'd go, whoa, I got to listen because Sid said that he might not even, maybe he shouldn't say this. Anyway.
Well, you can't spell Rocco without R.
You can't spell Rocco without R. That's right. Anyway, the question I have for you, our listening audience, is do you think Rocco did this in complete control of his emotions and he did it thinking through analytically exactly what he was saying because he wanted the attention of Major League Baseball and his team? Or do you think this was purely an emotional reaction to a competitive situation, i.e. proving that none of us are in complete control of our emotions and all of us, even Rocco Baldelli, can go into rage mode? 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can text us, you can call us here now if you missed some of it. Post-game, Rocco Baldelli yesterday after what he perceived to be a blown reverse call.
I wasn't given an explanation because, truthfully, there's no explanation to give on that play. That was probably one of the most chicken shit things I've ever seen on a baseball field done to a team. That play has not been called since the beginning of a replay more than a couple of times. In all of baseball, the thousands and thousands of games and plays at home where the catcher actually does block the plate over and over and over again, that play has virtually never been called. And for someone to step in that situation and ultimately make a decision that was blocking the plate, that's beyond embarrassing for our game, for all the players out there on both sides of the field working their ass off for the entire game. It's completely unacceptable. I can't even believe I'm sitting here talking to you guys about this right now. It's one of the worst moments I think we've seen of umpiring in any game I've ever been a part of in baseball. And I think it was pathetic what just played out. I could go on and on and on about this. The umpires on the field have nothing to do with it. They made a play on the field, which was the right call, which every person in all of baseball, including the umpires, know is the proper call. And someone in New York decided that that was worthy of being overturned on the field. It's awful in every possible way. And, you know, you look for, you know, some, you're looking for the umpires to keep things in order on the field. The guys here did, and the guys that are in the replay booth clearly did not. And I thought it was pathetic.
There you go, Rocco Baldelli. If you missed it, it was worth another listen. It was great theater yesterday. I was driving around town listening to first the call with Corey and Dan, and then the post game. Chris Atterbury said, you're going to want to stick around for this one. Rocco Baldelli's post game press conference, he didn't hold back. So I'm sitting in like, this is like old school, right? I pull off because I want to hear this, and I don't want to get home too soon and get distracted. So I'm sitting in this parking lot of some bank or something because I got to hear what Rocco had to say, and it didn't disappoint. 651-461-9226. I believe, knowing Rocco like I do, I don't know him, you know, super, super well, but well enough. He's been here long enough, and I've spent enough time with him, I think. I believe that a lot of that, he was in complete control over. It wasn't just that he let go or missed. You know, I believe that he knew the cause and effect. He knew he'd be fined for it. He knew he could be suspended for it. I believe, even though it wasn't that far removed from the game, I believe that to an extent it was calculated because he knew what had happened and he wanted to right the ship and he wanted to get the attention of his team going down the stretch. I believe that based on conversations that I've had with Rocco in the past, including one where I remember we were sitting there, it was the first year he was here, and we're sitting in the dugout, and I said, you just never get angry, you know, and he says, you know, I find it kind of ridiculous that two grown men need to yell at each other. I find that to be kind of ridiculous. Well, that was before Whit Merrifield took advantage and had the call overturned. Maybe now he sees it re-justified, and maybe the emotion and the 4 years in the big leagues as a manager gets the better of him. But the point being, he didn't set out to be like that. So I think that it was calculated. I think that he just wanted the attention of some people because I think he's cerebral and a real intellectual. But it also goes to show to an extent that even those that are cerebral and intellectual – have another gear they can go to, and when that button's pushed, it's pushed hard. 651-461-9226. Terry Steinbach will join us in the 7 o'clock hour, a former big league catcher, to tell us what is and isn't acceptable and how he sees the Twins trending right now. Let's go to Rick in the East Metro. Rick, you're on.
Hi, Max. You love your show. Hey, Rocco was just channeling his inner Guardy.
The contrast between he and Guardy is fairly profound because Guardy to get thrown out in the third inning, you almost expected it. We hadn't seen that from Rocco. But maybe everybody's got some Guardy in them, huh?
Well, absolutely, but I agree with you. Rocco first thought strategically, do I go Guardy? And he said, absolutely, because it was a bad call, number one. And number two, I don't really stand up and yell for my team too much, and I picked my spots. Here's the spot. I'm letting Guardy go. And if you looked at the emotion in his face was flush. His veins were popping. So there was emotion there. But I agree. It started with the strategy and then go Guardy the whole way. And he was right. It was a bang-bang play, terrible call out of New York. He was absolutely correct.
I agree with you, Rick. 651-461-9226. But I think that he recognized the moment, and he said, this is a moment that we can do something with it for our team. For these last couple of months, for these last 7 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is, 2 months left, I guess they extended it early October this time. And I think he saw that as a place to inject himself. And to get the attention of his team and say, hey, boys, this is how hard we play this game. We're in this. It means that much. I'll put myself out there. I'll take the fine. I'll take the suspension because I'm not going to put up with this BS. And you shouldn't either. So if Clayton Kershaw throws inside on you, you better be throwing inside on the Dodgers. Whatever it is, the cause and effect that comes from it. I think he's very in tune with, and I think that was his ultimate goal yesterday. Now, some might say, you can't do that. You just got to burn on pure emotion once in a while and let it fly. It's true. That's when I always get in trouble, but it is true. But I think that it was that combination of he was really upset, and he was smart enough to recognize the moment. 651-461-9226. Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Rocco's reaction would, maybe we should start naming segments. I'll call this Rocco's reaction, this segment.
And then, perfect, because now I know how to label it on the podcast.
Yep, and then 7 o'clock will be Steiny's take.
Okay. Oh, okay.
7:35, Lagos Legacy continues.
See, now I got to write him.
8:05, Saintly Aronson. And there's little teases for you to tune in, but there you've got them, right?
Yes, you will have to tell him to me again.
This is Rocco's reaction. And Rocco reaction. Steiny's take will be 7:05.
Steiny take. Okay, got it.
Okay, good.
Got it.
Let's go to Donovan on line one. If you want to jump in, 651-461-9226. I maintain that most of what Rocco did yesterday was directed, yes, at the system, not the umpires on the field because they didn't really have a say in it. The system, and number two, at his team. Internally, a way to blow off steam and let them know how intense you have to be to try to win this time of year. I think that's what he calculated into this thing. Okay, that's what I think. Donovan on line one, you're on.
Yeah, I'm actually a soccer official.
Soccer.
And the rules are that whatever the referee's decision is, it's that decision and that's it.
Okay.
Yes, I agree that he has input to do make a decision, but he doesn't need to blow up. I know this is an adult game, but he needs to control his environment just because of his fans and because of his players and opponents and stuff like that.
But maybe he was trying to take a situation and get something out of it by blowing up.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. It's just that, that's what the umpires are there for, is they're supposed to talk it out, and he doesn't get the right to blow up on them.
But he does. He does have the right to blow up, and they have the right to throw him out of the game.
Well, they should have thrown him out right away.
They did.
They should have. And then no feedback. He gets zero.
He gets zero?
He gets thrown out of the game. Yeah, he just gets thrown out of the game. I'd throw him out of the game for 6 games if it was me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Soccer's a little bit different than baseball. I mean, this is part of baseball. This is what we do in baseball. We get mad and we get angry and we get upset and you can be friends sometimes with the guy that you blew up on. That can happen. Tim Cheetah told the story one time when he was working the game for Atlanta and he threw Bobby Cox out of the game. And it was a Donnybrook. They went toe to toe the whole thing. So Cox leaves the game and the game goes extra innings. And after the 10th inning or something like that, Tim, who's doing home plate, decides he needs to use the restroom because the game's extending longer than he would and nature calls. So he goes back to use the restroom and there's Bobby Cox sitting in a room in a towel or something, as he walks by. And he says, Bobby looks at him and says, Timmy, you're calling a good game tonight. That was after they'd gone toe-to-toe. Let's go to Archer, Chris Archer, who has known Rocco Baldelli for a long time, with his take on the play at the plate and what he saw from Rocco Baldelli.
Gosh, all of that just unfold.
Yeah, we've seen that play a lot since replay came in, and that looked like a play that would not get overturned. I know there's a couple different definitions of the rule. ball taking him depends on if the ball takes him to the play. Does he block the play before the ball gets there? Does he have a lane? It looked like the ball took him there. His foot was off the ground, so he could have slid under.
Okay, play the next cut that he had to say. What did he have to say?
I've known Rocco for about 10 years, and that's the most adamant I've ever seen him about anything, because he is a mellow, laid-back person. But I don't think that it was unjust.
There you go. So if you don't stick up for yourself, if you don't stick up for your team, then what kind of a leader are you? If you don't have the people that you're managing, if you don't have their back, then what do you got? You got a fractured clubhouse. You got a team saying, well, why isn't he sticking up for us? Why isn't he fighting the fight? If Rocco Baldelli doesn't fight that tooth and nail, his players are going to say, well, you ask us to go out there and play all out. Why aren't you fully vested here? Why aren't you in the game? You're not going to jump up and down and scream about a play like, you know, we've seen this play and it's never been overturned. And you're just going to sit in the dugout and say, that's okay. But you want me to go out there and bust my butt for 9 innings or 10? What I'm getting at here is a lot of people don't see what really happens inside a game in an organization. The players want to know that the manager has their back. The players want to know that that manager is not going to let them be stepped on by an umpire or anybody else. The players want to know that. And that was a lot of the consideration, I think, that Rocco took yesterday. Here's a text. Maxie, I saw the play 3 times, and Rocco was correct. Just think of the game situation, the Twins players' feelings as well. That's what I'm talking about. The throw was in time where it should be. Gary, meaning Gary Sanchez, applied the tag the only way he could and did not deliberately block home plate. Bingo. The runner was out, though, physically. Anyway, we lose these texts sometimes. They get broken up. Maxie, regardless of the situation, baseball is a family game. It was youth day, for heaven's sake. Don't use profanity. It demonstrates you have poor command of the English language. Really bad form. Yeah, I'm not big on profanity, but it's not like Rocco uses it all the time. And it's not like, to me, that spoke to just how upset he was, knowing that he's looking at cameras and the microphone, and he still chose to use that language. And then we have other ones. Umpires blew the call. Bad calls could be made. Umpires are there to umpire the game. Blah, 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 blah. I gotcha. But once in a while, you got to take a stand. And if you don't stand up for yourself, what's the old saying? I remember a coach saying this once to the team, you know, the pep talk. He says, if you don't stand up for something, then when somebody's going to urinate in your face and tell you it's raining, you'll just accept it. Okay? I remember that as a post-game. Whatever, we had not done well, whatever. And Rocco stuck up for his team and the people that deliver for him. And if they're out there giving it their best shot, and they've got him in first place, and they're making money for this organization and this team, he better be on the other end working on covering their back. Because that's just the way it has to be. That's the choice that he made yesterday. I think it was the right choice. Now, in terms of what that does for a team, and we'll take you through the mechanics of the play and what is allowed and what is not, to do that, we will bring on an all-star catcher and former World Series champion, and a guy that was a bench coach by the name of Terry Steinbach. He knows a whole lot about that position and what goes into it and what he saw. Plus, he knows a whole lot about what you do as a manager to try to bring out the best in your team and how you pick your places and all that stuff when you're in a season. And he played for Tony La Russa and Tom Kelly, so they know just a little bit about some of that stuff. And he was on the staff with Gardy as well. In fact, he got to manage a lot of games because Gardy would decide it was time to have a conversation with the umpire, and the next thing you know, Steiny would be in charge. So we'll talk to him about all that and all of the above next. This is Sports to Max. This is News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.